You mentioned the anthropological findings in South America and China. What are you referring to specifically?
Let's have my wife take up that question.
One of our journeys was actually to Xi'an, which is the ancient capital of China, and that's where the pyramids are there. And there's many pyramids in central China. So that was one of our excursions. Another place, of course, we've traveled throughout South America and seen pyramids in Peru and also gone to Easter Island, which is a very fascinating area because we now know that if the water levels were different at some time, Thor Heyerdahl showed us that you could travel from Easter Island over to South America and back. So there could have been this unique migration civilization, which we were also part of our whole cosmology, that we see that man could have traveled easily from the area of China and the Far East to South America. In fact, what we're finding in South America is ancient civilizations older than what you find in North America. There's always been that theory, of course, that they came through the Bering Straits, and it was about the time of Clovis, which is 12,000 years ago, but we're not finding that anymore.
You mentioned the pyramids in different places. I was having a conversation last night with some friends about that, whether Egypt, you know, they thought Egypt was the only place where there were pyramids, and, you know, we got into the discussion of, no, they've really been found around the world at different times, in different cultures, and it raises the question, the interesting question of, where did these people get the idea, A, for the structure of the pyramid, and B, what was the purpose of it? Have you found any more enlightening information about that?
We've found quite a bit of evidence in our own field research and musical testing inside the various pyramids in China, in Yucatan, that is to say Central America, Mexico, as well as in the Middle East, in Egypt, where we were able to bring very sophisticated equipment in the 1980s and 90s and test vibration rates and acoustical properties inside each of the rooms inside the Great Pyramid from a standpoint of 20 vibrations per second up to 20,000 vibrations per second. And we confirmed that there were certain musical cues that the human ear would resonate with, as well as vibratory levels down to 3 hertz that were outside of the human ear range of hearing, that suggest a musical architecture was programmed into these pyramids in many locations. So the pyramids, as we are interpreting our research presently, suggest that they are energy collectors as well as some sort of musical transducers of sound and energy, perhaps raising the states of awareness and consciousness of the human participants of that civilization or society into higher states of creativity.
And there's also the theory that they might have been placed in particular locations throughout the planet, that these are not happenstance locations that people got together and decided to build one there. There's a Lafayan man who lived about 1920s to the 1950s, and he traveled all the way from Latvia to a place close to the Bermuda Triangle in Florida to build this place called Coral Castle. And in a sense, it's, many of your viewers probably are familiar with this, but it's very fascinating when you talk about who built the pyramids, how were they built. He, of course, moved 28-ton blocks of coral by himself. So if he could do it, you can imagine there must have been some technology. Now, the interesting thing is we did go to see this place, and we went with some friends who were thinking of buying it back in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And so they got to find out a lot more than what the normal tourists do. And what they found was he had the entire place set up with copper wires all over the place. And in the center where he would normally do his work, he actually had a generator or a motor. They didn't know what this was. So when he died and the city moved in, the people who took over, they just tore down all the wires. But probably he used a particular type of field to raise, literally levitate, because there's no way a person by himself, and he was alone, could have done that. But he moved to this particular location where he felt that there was a type of energy grid, and then using his own technology, we don't even know how he got that information, he was able to do these tremendous things.
Judging by what I have heard about the Coral Castle and also what you just said, it sounds as though we'll never know either, will we?
Unfortunately, Leet Skellen, the gentleman that Desiree is referring to, passed away without leaving a journal, a book of notations of how he came over on the boat from the Baltic. And for all intents and purposes, we're back to square one as far as that location is concerned. But more to your question, we are doing a lot of work with remote sensing technology. I was trained in anthropology, archaeology, with also the ability to use advanced tools and lasers and radar, looking both from small plane platforms as well as from ground observation crews at these very intriguing temples and pyramids in various locations of our planet.
Now, you mentioned the vibrations, and that was in the Egyptian pyramids, right?
Right. Have we're talking about 3 to 120 decibels, which we found to exist inside the king's chamber. To put it very, very simply, we found that there is a resonance that is part of the pattern of energy in each of these rooms. And if you are able to hit the right sound frequency with your voice as a male singer or with a musical mm-hmm. instrument, the whole room begins to resonate, and it begins to entrain the human mind to experience other levels of consciousness change.
Like what? What does it feel? Have you experienced it yourself?
I have, and I've documented this on film, both in the King's Chamber as well as in the Grand Gallery of the Great Pyramid, where actual standing waveforms of energy were momentarily picked up on film. Energy experiences allowed the mind to see flashes of various pictures, mental scenarios, and then a sense of tremendous peace of mind and tranquility would come as a result of these high peak experiences.
And one of the reasons we think this happens, because we actually recorded this and then analyzed it on oscilloscopes, is the fact that the vibration, even if a person puts out a sound in these chambers, it actually continues to go down the line to get into the alpha wave frequencies. There's a resonance that goes down to the alpha wave, so it kind of puts your whole mind into this alpha state, which is a type of meditative state. And many people, of course, even inside the tomb where you can lay down in the king's coffer, have mm-hmm. had some very unique experiences.